title is using CAPS and HEDIS to identify access barriers, assessing the quality of care and health services received by immigrant children of indeterminate status in a large urban Medicaid health plan, 2008 to 2011. That differs slightly from what's in the book. There is a linkage between our population and an article in Health Affairs that notes that the program that I'll describe, called Healthy Kids in many California counties, was funded by a special tax, a tobacco tax, that the voters passed. And it tends to serve, it was designed to serve people who are falling through the cracks on federal programs, and so I'm deliberately avoiding the word undocumented immigrant. And so this keeps us safe. But the program is designed, first of all, the disclosure. My name's Ray Starr. The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. I'm employed as a senior biostatistician at LA Care Health Plan, the local initiative health authority of Los Angeles County, California. LA Care is a public entity competing with commercial interests in the Medicaid and SCHIP markets in LA County. And I'll be using two trademark titles. CAPS belongs to Health AHRQ, and HEDIS belongs to NCQA. And those are two studies. HEDIS studies quality of care, clinical care, and CAPS studies quality of services provided to members. It's a member survey where the member is considered the expert on the quality of services that they received. A quick outline, learning objectives, and I'll proceed, and each item will be titled on its own slide. Basically giving background and then quality of service, recap of learning objectives, actionability, and sharing knowledge on quality improvement. The learning objectives promised to you in the program outline were, this will say something or communicate something about evaluating differences in healthcare and health services among low-income populations comparing immigrant children versus other pediatric patients. And again, working with the terms immigrant, we suspect we do not collect or ask immigration status as part of this program. But my instructions were, do not get our members deported. So I'll state what I know is we do not gather that information. Others in the research community for other California counties have established that linkage. Describe which measures of clinical quality differentiate between quality of service received by immigrants versus other groups. Describe which measures of healthcare service qualify health service quality, CAPS, differentiate between quality of service received by immigrants versus other groups. Identify which barriers to healthcare access for low-income patients are more frequently reported by parents of immigrant children versus other parents. So that's what this briefing will cover. A little background on LA Care. Mostly Medicaid, urban, two-thirds pediatric, often Spanish-speaking population. Roughly 21% of Medicaid managed care population in California is in our health plan. And roughly 2.1% of Medicaid managed care population in the U.S. nationally is in our health plan in one county in California. Roughly 1 in 14 LA Care residents is an LA Care member. I'm sorry, LA County residents is an LA Care member. Mostly Medicaid, some SCHIP, SNP, and special programs like the one I will describe. It's called Healthy Kids. We serve 10 distinct language concentrations, mostly urban and suburban. There's a semi-rural region in the high desert in LA County. So we're a little bit of everything, but mostly urban. Who's covered in Healthy Kids? It's a set of programs in California counties designed to fund health care for children and low-income families not otherwise eligible for public health coverage. The funding was originally funded by tobacco tax money and other sources. Gradually, as that money was transitioned to other uses by a state which is strapped for funds, other funders stepped in and were recruited to step in and help give coverage. So the coverage has been declining, or the enrollment has been declining as the funding started to ebb out, but still a large number of people on the program benefiting from it. It's usually coordinated by local community coalitions, and initially this population was covered by CalKids some years ago, about 6 or 7 years ago. Healthy Kids in various California counties. A couple of quotes I will read. Initiatives to expand children's health insurance in California are evolving primarily at the county level through joint efforts involving locally focused health plans and foundations, county health and children's officials, and key stakeholders such as organized labor. And this article describes the various Healthy Kids incarnations that appear in California counties. Santa Clara and San Francisco have implemented Healthy Kids subsidized plans for any children in families with incomes under 300% of the FPL, and several other counties are developing coverage expansion initiatives that may cover undocumented immigrant children. So it's believed that two populations fall into this. Since we do not check immigration status, it's anybody who's not eligible for CHIP or Medicaid, or they have a little too much income in the family to get into CHIP, which cuts off at 250% FPL, federal poverty level. And so in that window between 250% and 300%, people are eligible to join Healthy Kids. Children are eligible to be enrolled in Healthy Kids. And so it would tend to be for one of two reasons. Either one, they were below 300% FPL and didn't qualify for anything else. So they're poor, or they couldn't qualify for the other programs, but likely because of immigration status. Okay. So again, we don't ask their immigration status, we just check to see if they're eligible for other programs that we can enroll them in, and if we can't, we try to fit them into this one so they can get health care. Some literature on the needs of facing this population. Compared to undocumented immigrants from Mexico, undocumented immigrants were 27% less likely to be seen by a doctor in the prior year, and 35% less likely to have a usual source of care. So that kind of sets up the problem of access to care if a person isn't documented. Immigration status is associated with poorer access to insurance and care for children. However, access to care for immigrant children in California rose from 2001 to 2005. I believe Greg Stevens at the USC was the source of that article. So it's immigration status is associated with poorer access. So programs like the one I'm going to describe are filling in that gap to some extent. Even when insured, immigrant children fared worse than non-immigrants on access and utilization measures. Okay, that's from the California Health Insurance Survey. It was the base data for that study, and that's a UCLA survey. I believe we have one of our co-panelists works for the School of Public Health, and I believe CHIS is sponsored out of that department. Our finding will somewhat address that same point. We have mixed findings as to whether the immigrant children fared worse than non-immigrants on access. So it's a mixed story in this briefing with our data, but CHIS data showed a somewhat different pattern, and there's not necessarily an inconsistency there. We're only one of the counties in CHIS, so that could have been the rest of the state leveraging their finding. Expanded insurance coverage improved health status among children and enrolled without reference to immigration status, and that tended to be what we would guess from our results, is that it improved access but by providing a source of insurance that these members would not otherwise have. There's a paradox, and noted in at least one article, immigrant children have less access, yet better than expected health outcomes. We have echoes of that in our finding, and I'll refer to that in a moment. Relationship of immigration status to health measures is complex. Fewer symptoms, worse access, lower perceived health status was one other article based on CHIS data. Okay, refugee and immigrant health, factors that affect the health care received by immigrants and refugees. Healthy Kids members tended to give high assessments on services rated in CAPS, so they gave favorable ratings, and they also participate in the survey at a greater degree. One would guess that if it is an undocumented immigrant population, they might have a reason not to respond, to not want to surface themselves, identify themselves with the program, and yet they responded at a dramatically higher rate than Medicaid members or CHIP members. And CHIP members responded about halfway between the two. Medicaid members were responding in the 30 to 40% range. SCHIP members for the 50 to 60% range. Healthy Kids were up in the 70s response rate, which we had not seen with our regular populations. So that was impressive and interesting. They seem enthusiastic about the program, and that's on the CAPS survey. It is unknown whether Healthy Kids members are getting better services or simply more appreciative of the care they are receiving, recognizing it as care they would not otherwise get from federal and state-funded sources. Unlike CAPS, Healthy Kids generally performed worse on HEDIS measures than Medicaid and CHIP. So that's basically where I'm headed with the findings. Okay, for the CAPS results, this is pooled 2006 to 2011. We didn't get as far as modeling to to remove the effect of that pooling, it would be through chi-square Cochrane Mantel Hansel approach to account for the structure of the sample. But we're basically pooling these raw and treating it as a super sample. So the statistical tests are a little bit more, they're offering higher precision, higher significance than they may otherwise if we account for the structure of the sample. But these are the main measures on CAHPS, our rating of the health plan, rating of healthcare, rating of doctor, rating of the specialist, and rating of the pharmacy. Healthy kids members were significantly better than everybody else on the health plan rating. So bold green is, they topped everybody else, and it was significant. 78%, they weren't the top rating in the next one, healthcare, but there's a favorable rating. And on the specialist, they topped everybody else in terms of the ratings they were giving. So their claim is that they're getting good service. And compared to these other samples, and they did not know what sample they're in, so there's nothing they could guess to give that result. So they're just rating the same, presumably the same services, because they're kind of randomly distributed throughout our network. Not randomly, but they're distributed throughout our network, basically the same network serving all of these populations. But they outdid Medicaid significantly in the case of specialists. Now, we also gave what's called the bottom box scores. These are the lowest scores to see. Sometimes averages can hide other behavior. Averages can hide really bad behavior on the low end and yet still be relatively high. And we were looking for that. And yep, that pattern held, that healthy kids did not show up in the very worst of the worst scores. So they tended to give more favorable ratings on CAHPS. On the composite measures on CAHPS, which are getting access to specialist care and treatment, which is approvals for care, then getting care quickly, timely care, provider communication, customer service, shared decision making. So not too much significant there. They weren't above it. They weren't below anybody else either. So on the composites, it's a little bit of a different story there. But they weren't the absolute worst either, which Medicaid was, at least on customer service. So they're not getting the worst service. On the bottom box score, healthy kids, it was significantly green is favorable in this case. So they weren't the worst of the worst on approvals for care, but they did show up in the unfavorable rating. So this is a mixed story in terms of their access. These are the HEDIS measures. Moving very quickly because I think I'm coming up on time soon. So well care visits for ages 3 to 4, they were significantly worse than the other product lines. On BMI, healthy kids were significantly worse. Now sometimes this is a measure of, are they getting the test? This is in fact, are they getting the test? Not what was their BMI score, but it's, were they getting tested? Were they getting the in for the test, and was the doctor taking that test or pushing to get that test done? And so they're worse than Medi-Cal in that measure. Nutrition, same thing. Physical, same thing. So they're not doing too well in terms of getting the tests done, getting into the visits and so forth. So it starts being the opposite story between HEDIS and CAHPS. They're giving favorable ratings. They're responding positively, saying, yes, this we're getting good treated well. But HEDIS is telling a different story, that they aren't getting the visits and the care that one would want. And here, immunization status again down, and nothing significant on the other measures. Okay, we did other tests on the CAP survey. These are reasons for not getting those visits. So we ask on the CAP survey, we add some questions saying, why didn't you get the visits? And they give reasons. And so the reasons were kind of organized between intrinsic and extrinsic. Extrinsic reasons would be absolute barriers, like a language barrier. My doctor doesn't speak my language. Why even go? You know, so that's an external barrier that we can solve through some other means, such as telephonic interpretation provided. The health plan provides that option if the member asks for it, and if the provider will ask for it as well. So intrinsic reasons are where a person said, I didn't have time, or my child wasn't sick, and so they didn't go for health care. And those are personal choice reasons or misunderstanding, health literacy issues, saying, oh, I don't need well care because I'm not sick, which sick, which is the point of the well care, is catch things before they turn into bad things. So intrinsics outweighed extrinsic reasons. So the traditional barriers are kind of going away. And this is true of all of our populations, not just the healthy kids population. But the extrinsic barriers were still present, but at a much lower rate, which was encouraging that healthy kids were trying to see what their reasons were, comparing them versus the Medi-Cal in the first column and healthy kids in the other column. And the healthy kids members were at 60% saying my child was not sick, and the Medi-Cal members saying at 47 or 48% of the time, it tended to look like healthy kids members were parents were expressing intrinsic reasons more often than the other population, giving reasons which didn't reflect good health literacy, or giving personal choice reasons that I was too busy in the whole 12-month period to go take my child in for the visit. So that may say something about why they're not getting care. Is it that there's some bias in the system? It appears to be choice to a large extent, or health literacy. And we never do throw in the towel and say, well, that's their fault. We would route this finding to the health promotion department and say, how can we get the messaging out there as to why these visits exist on HEDIS? And this is just a continuation of the same list. Many barriers we asked about to see if there were any discernible patterns. And then the interpretation of the findings. Healthy kids perform better on CAPS, but not on HEDIS. And program staff observed that healthy kids members are highly responsive on surveys and appreciative. One unknown is, are the visits not occurring? Are the documents not being captured? So there is some issue there. But it tends to be, we tend to believe that the visits are not occurring. Healthy kids members have somewhat greater concentration at safety net clinics, but that's starting to change as the funding dries up for some inexplicable reason. Fewer of them are being seen at safety net clinics as opposed to private clinics and the county clinics, county-sponsored clinics. Evidently, healthy kids members have access barriers that we do not yet understand, but it says to us, a warning flag, that this is a population we need to look at now. We've tended to believe in our departments that everybody is served by the same provider network and they can choose among those. That therefore they're getting the same service, but not this population. So the study tended to tell our departments, we'll look at them specifically because they have a different problem. And basically, quick recap, healthy kids members gave more favorable ratings, but on HEDIS they fared worse. And which measures of quality service differentiated? Healthy kid members outscored other groups on CAPS. And the fourth item, identify barriers. They were about the same proportion in reporting barriers, so they don't appear to have any external barriers that particularly, just that they're not getting the visits. Actionability, we're routing it to the teams that deal with this program, and they are our co-authors on this study. And that's it. Thank you for your time. I think I'm minus 1 minute by now.